Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And joining me now to talk about that, he is worth the subscription price, which is not much, by the way, from The Athletic. The editor-in-chief of the All-American page there, he's been doing a bracket watch for a long time. He's taken it with him from Sports Illustrated, and he's brought it over to The Athletic, and I'm looking at it right now. And I'm happy to have him on the hotline. Stuart Mandel here on CBS Sports Radio. Stuart, aren't they changing the way they're doing the selection show tonight a little bit?
They are, and I'm definitely dreading it. They messed it up 2 years ago. It's one of the greatest shows of the year in sports. I don't know why anybody would ever mess with the format. But according to the press release, they're going to actually announce all the teams before they announce the bracket. So we'll see how that goes.
So they're just going to put a list of 68 teams out there and then go from
there? That's what it says. They're just going to, I don't know if they're just going to like scroll like the closing credits of a movie. And if you're a Baylor fan and they pass the B's and you're not in it, then you know you didn't make it. I don't know. I'm very skeptical.
It takes all the suspense out of it. That's what makes it a great TV show for me.
That's what's so great about the show. You know, if you are one of those bubble teams and you don't make it until the last region after three commercial breaks, I mean, it's killing people. Yep. Maybe they're just trying to put people out of their misery as fast as possible.
You said something on Twitter earlier today about KenPom, and I want to, you know, enlighten my listeners a little bit on that. You said the committee has been using KenPom more. What did you mean by that?
Okay, so everybody knows RPI, and that's what you hear most cited with the NCAA tournament selection process. The sheets, the team sheets for each team are all organized by RPI, about how many RPI top 50 you beat, how many RPI top 100, et cetera. But over the last 2 years, I've heard them discuss advanced metrics like KenPom more, and this year for the first time, teams, KenPom ranking, Sagarin rating, et cetera, is listed right at the top of the sheet. So it'll be interesting to see tonight if, for instance, a team like St. Bonaventure that's very high in the RPI, and for that reason a lot of people think they're a lock, but is very, very low in KenPom, might actually be in a little bit of trouble. I have them one of my last four in.
So that's one team that would be hurt by them putting a bigger emphasis on this new metric or new rating. Who are some of the bubble teams that would be helped by it?
Well, when you look at St. Mary's, that's a team that was in the top 25 all season, but once they lost in the conference tournament and you started taking a deeper look, you said, well, wait a minute, they have a bad schedule rating. They really only beat one good team all year, Gonzaga. Based on just RPI data, they don't have the resume to get in. But a lot of people just think they're a good team. And so if the committee wanted to justify that decision, they could point to the fact that they're, I believe, 28th in KenPom as opposed to lower than that in RPI.
Stuart, I want to play for you what Dan Gavitt told CBS yesterday. He was on set with their March to Madness crew. And this is what he said about this year's selection process.
Spending a little more time, I would say, on some teams being very, very deliberate and thorough, because there are a few teams in particular that are on the bubble that have very unique situations. The quad system has done for the committee this year is to redefine what a quality win is, what a quality game is. Probably brought more games into consideration that are played on the road. And also, it's probably diminished the impact of a road loss. Mm-hmm. You know, what in the past would have been considered a very bad loss. If it's a road game and a conference game, for example, against a lower half team from a good conference, that loss doesn't stick out nearly as much as it did in the past. But it brings more teams in that, you know, 50 to 75 range on the road into consideration as a real quality game and potentially a real quality win.
Stuart, I heard that yesterday, and I thought the first part of that made me think that Notre Dame was going to get in. The unique situation point.
It certainly indicated that Notre Dame is being seriously considered, which I think a lot of people... certainly people that are calling the games on TV have made it seem like that's a foregone conclusion. Mm-hmm. I was a little more skeptical. I mean, for them to put Notre Dame in and leave somebody else out, that somebody else out is going to have a better resume, because Notre Dame just doesn't have the resume. So they're basically saying, because they have Vonzie Colson back, and they're healthy. And when they were healthy with him, they were a pretty good team, that you should kind of make a special exception for them. Maybe it happens. I don't think so. I think that's a bad precedent to set. I've seen them maybe seed a team differently because of injuries one way or the other.
Yeah, Kenyon Martin's the famous example of
Kenyon
that.
Kenyon Martin's the famous one. I dropped Auburn down to a 4 seed when they could have been a 3 seed because they've clearly not been the same team since they lost one of their best players. But to actually say we're going to put a team in the field that otherwise wouldn't deserve it would be pretty unprecedented as far as I know.
Yeah, I agree. Plus, they lost to Ball State and Indiana with those two guys, which has been well documented.
They had gone on a really deep conference tourney run, right, that would have been a different story. But I don't think beating Virginia Tech tells me, hey, they're back.
Well, not only that, Stuart, but you know who else I think you could make that argument for, and no one else says this, is Penn State. Because they played the Big Ten tournament without Mike Watkins, their rim protector. They played a ton of games this year without Reeves because he was suspended. And when you put all of their players on the court at one time, they passed everybody's eye test, for sure. But
Penn State, by the way, is another team that doesn't meet really check off any of the boxes that you usually hear from the committee. Quality wins, bad losses. But I believe in the top 30 in KenPom. So they're on nobody's list right now. There's usually or often one team that none of the bracketologists have that makes it into the bracket. They could be that team.
Yeah, they're up there in BPI, too. Do they use that?
That they do. On the new team sheets, it lists KenPom, Sagarin, and BPI.
Okay. We're talking to Stuart Mandel from The Athletic here on CBS Sports Radio. The second part of what Gavitt said about road record, who do you think that helps?
I don't have a specific example, but just in general, as I've gone through this for the first time, I don't find that there's much difference between the old way and the new way in terms of when I look up a team's quadrant wins versus their RPI top 50 wins. It's not that different. But I do agree with his last point in that, let's say, you know, there's a lot of teams in the RPI ranked between 50 and 75 that aren't going to make the tournament. And so if you were going by the old way, that would look like kind of a bad loss. But in this system, if you lose on the road to, say, Boston College, who not a great team, but is in the top 75, and he was on the road to them, Duke did, that's still in the first column.
So did Syracuse.
That's the part that sticks out to me, that it mitigates a little bit losing those kind of road games.
You know what, though, Stuart? Based on what you just said there, man, like, I for one, feel like a few years ago, Louisville would be in a stronger spot than they are right now because their RPI number is so good and they don't have any bad losses.
Louisville's got an offer now. Florida State dropped out of the top 50. So if you look at their Jerry Palm on CBS, who I use a lot, still lists it by 1 to 50, and they have a offer up there. But if you go by Q1, they have two Q1 wins.
And no bad losses, really, to teams that aren't at least getting considered for the tournament.
I have a hard time seeing them getting in. To me, I always have believed that, you know, what used to be top 50 record is now Q1 record. Is the most important category. For instance, Baylor, I seem to be out on an island on Baylor, and maybe I'll be completely wrong, but at least they have four of those Q1 wins, as opposed to some of the other teams people are talking about that may only have two.
Oklahoma State reminds me a lot of Syracuse last year, where they've got some really good wins, but everything else about their resume tells you that they're not good enough to make it.
Yep, very similar. You know, they don't pick teams based on their RPI rating necessarily, but we do have historical thresholds. And so when Syracuse, I remember last year was a weird year in that there wasn't much mystery around the bubble. Syracuse was the only team that there was some disagreement on, and I kept saying they're way too low in the RPI to be taken seriously. Well, Oklahoma State's even lower. Oklahoma State, so the record is 74. Oklahoma State's like 88. So it would be a tremendous change from previous years. One thing I will say about Oklahoma State, they do have some great wins, no question. A lot of Oklahoma State fans are ticked at the idea that Oklahoma would get in and they wouldn't, because they've, you know, shown to be a better team in conference play. But the committee always holds it against a couple teams that have a really bad non-conference schedule strength. So we're talking 263rd or whatever, and that's Oklahoma State. So if you're right on the bubble and that's one of your category, or that's one of your strikes against you, those teams don't generally get the benefit of the doubt.
Middle Tennessee State, I think, went 12-1 on the road. How much will that help them today?
That helps them. They also, you know, like I just said, the committee really wants you to schedule up out of conference. Middle Tennessee did that. They played five or six Power 5 teams. They have a top 10 strength of schedule, non-conference rating. They just don't have the wins. And so when they first lost that day, I thought, oh, they're going to reward them for the schedule strength. And then as the days went on and I really looked at it, I said, well, you know, if they just beaten one of those good, I think they played Miami, they played a couple other teams like that. They just won one of those, I'd feel a lot better about them, but they don't have those wins. They actually, we talked about KenPom, they've slipped down into the 50s in that. So I don't really like their chances.
Let me ask you about some of these. Let me ask you about St. Mary's for a second here. So they're hanging their head on the Gonzaga win, right? That's pretty much mm-hmm. the best thing they've got going for them. And I guess some of these metrics.
St. Mary's is the one that I am the least sure about either way. They're the team okay. that caused me the most consternation over the last couple of days. I ended up leaving them out. A lot more. I think more people have them in than have them out. I think there's this, you know, when you've been following a basketball season all season and you've seen them in the top 25 all year and there's been a lot of press for them, Jock Landale's a great player, you think, well, they can't leave them out. But then their resume is just kind of indefensible. They didn't play anybody out of conference. That Gonzaga win is their only win against a team that would be an at-large team if they had to be. So, yeah, they're hanging their hat on 28-5, which, by the way, 28 would, I believe, be the record of most wins left out for an at-large team, and maybe that KenPom ranking.
You said that 74 is the low mark for a team from a power conference to get in, 74 on the RPI?
Is that the number? That was New Mexico a long time ago, and actually that was before they changed the RPI formula. So since it's been the current formula, actually Syracuse a couple years ago when they got in at 71 was the record.
Okay, 71. Do we know what the flip is? What is the best RPI from a power conference that's gotten left out?
I don't know that number off the top of my head, but I think it's, there have been some teams in the high 20s left out, but they were mid-majors. So I want to say for a power conference team, it's closer to around 30th.
Okay. And that's where Louisville is right now, right? Aren't they like in the low 30s? Okay.
So maybe we'll don't think that would be a record, but they do have that going for them.
Pac-12, USC and Arizona State. Where are you on both of those teams?
I'm a little more confident in SC. You know, they have a bunch of Q1 wins now there. The interesting thing is that if you just looked at the number, you'd say they're in great shape. If you look at who they actually beat, it is teams like Middle Tennessee and New Mexico State. They didn't beat any of the good teams in their conference. So if they miss it, it'll be because of that. And ASU, I could go either way. You know, it's true that they didn't really build on those early wins over Kansas and Xavier, but man, those are two good wins. I dropped them out 2 days ago. I put them back in on the last day. I'll probably be wrong because of that, but they're right on the fence.
Do you think the SEC teams that are on the back end of things have anything to worry about? Bama, Missouri, you think they're both locks?
I think they're locks. Bama falls in the category. There were three teams this year, Bama, Oklahoma, and Texas, that have bad records, have a lot of losses. But they have a lot of good wins, and at least in the other case, not Bama, they don't really have bad losses. Bama does have some bad losses, but Bama really, I think, cemented it with the win over Auburn in the conference tournament. You know, they went into the conference tournament on a 5-game losing streak. They came out in the conference tournament, won a couple good games, so I think they'll be fine.
You know, I read a quote from the committee chair. This is going way back. Might have been the day that the first reveal was made, and he made a comment about how, you know, you might have a team from the ACC that has 20 opportunities and only 4 good wins out of 20 versus a team like a Middle Tennessee State or a St. Mary's that might only have 3 or 4 good cracks at a quality win. So I don't know mm-hmm. if that's something we can keep in mind and remember today, but it seems to me anecdotally, Stuart, that since, you know, in the last 3 or 4 years, they really have gone away from giving mid-major teams at large bids.
They really have. Now, Bruce Rasmussen, the chairman this year, is the most transparent chairman I've ever seen. He goes,
yep.
Andy Capps does an interview with him every day. He goes on TV, and he talks specifically about teams, which is really unusual. And so he's the one I believe you're referring to who said he has his own personal system where he, like, gives them a percentage of how many opportunities they had. And if that were the case, that would seem to be good for the mid-majors. But, you know, I've yet to see that play out in real life. I went back to 2 years ago to 2016 to compare. That was a year that Monmouth had a lot of really good wins and didn't get in. Mm-hmm. Bonaventure was on that list. St. Mary's missed. I mean, and the recurring theme was they just didn't have they didn't check the RPI boxes. KenPom, any of the things you want to talk about, did not help them. So it's hard for me to look at that and have a lot of confidence in St. Mary's or Middle Tennessee.
What do you think happens with Dan Hurley after the tournament?
Good question. He's going to be a hot commodity, to say the least.
You think he'll be at Rhode Island?
I'm just going to say yes until proven otherwise.
Okay.
But, you know, we'll see.
Who do you think's number one on Connecticut's list? Do you think it's Hurley?
Yes. That's going to be the temptation, right? I mean, yeah. If you're saying, oh, he's definitely not going to be at Rhode Island, it would be because of that. But, you know, and the other thing I would say is after with the Kevin Ollie, how this has ended, I don't think UConn's going to be as concerned about having somebody from within the family.
How about Pitt?
Man, they really need to nail this one because whoever's coming in is going to just be dealing with such a disaster. I'll tell you what, I'm very interested to see what happens with Tom Crean. You know, first of all, he's been tremendous on ESPN this year, but he's a really good coach. For whatever reason, he just never went over people's favorite, Indiana, and so he was always playing from behind there. He's a really good coach. Would a Georgia be able to get him? Would a Pitt be able to get him? Would they want to get him? If you're asking me to bet on something, I'm betting on him being back on the sideline next year, not at a program as prestigious as Indiana by any means, but at a Power 5 school that at least has the resources in place to win.
Stuart Mandel, Bracket Watch, The Athletic. Hey, Stuart, thank you so much, man. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks for having me.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.